Me, aren't you? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 1. Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 1. Paul's writing, and he's writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes to Titus and says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, for this writing, this thy inspiration, Lord, that you had Paul to write these things to Titus, this preacher, and exhorting him to exhort others. Lord, as we think about the day that we're living in, we recognize more and more our need to live right and to do right. And I pray that today you would help me as I stand to preach. Hide me, dear Lord, behind the cross. Lord, may your will be done in this place. In these next few moments that we have together, I pray would be well-pleasing to thee. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to every heart and every life. If there be one here today without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the day that they trust Thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray that today we would draw closer to Thee. And if we're away from where we ought to be, I pray that You'll convict us about this. And Lord, we'll have an understanding of the need to walk close to You, to lift You up in our lives. Help us to do Your will and to be obedient. Lord, we need Thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In this chapter, Titus chapter 2, we start out Paul's writing, and he's teaching Titus some things about speaking the things that become sound doctrine. And the reason why is, he says, so that the aged men may behave properly, that the aged women would behave properly, that the aged women would teach the younger women certain things, and the aged men would teach the younger men certain things. And he's writing these things in view of the time of the Lord coming again. He's writing when it says we're to be looking for that blessed hope. He's writing and helping us to understand that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we need to be ready. And we need to live our life up until that time in a way that's proper and pleasing to the Lord. You understand, we're living in the last days, and I believe we could very well be living in the last days of the last days. Only God knows. With all that's going on around us, and the sin that's prevalent and acceptable in society, we realize that the time of Christ's coming is nigh. We're living in a day where Christians live in a way that they ought not be living. We're living in a day where the world needs light. And the Bible says that we are the light. We're to carry the light of Christ into the world. But we see all around us Christians are just compromising and settling for things that they ought not settle for. And when we see what's going on, we realize there's a great need in the world. It's time for Christians to live right. It's time for those of you that may be here under the sound of my voice today that's not a Christian, that's not saved, it's time for you to get right. And it's time for us to stay right. Jesus is coming. What if He were to come today? What if Christ were to split the sky today? What if the trumpet were to sound? What if we were to see His face today? What would we have to say to Him? Lord, I'm glad You came now because I'm living for You. Or would it be, I wish I'd have been doing more right now, Lord. I wish I'd have been speaking to others about Christ. I wish I'd have had a more pure life, a more holy life. Look, we cannot sin and get by with it. Our sins were judged at the cross of Calvary. We preach this all the time. Once you're saved, the Bible teaches us you have eternal life. You have everlasting life. And your sins are taken care of. They're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we will be judged for our deeds. So what we're saying is that our deeds will not be what God would have them to be if we have sin in our life. We will not be judged for our sins, for Jesus Christ took our payment for sins on the cross of Calvary. But if we are living with sin in our life, then we will not be doing what God would have us to be doing. And it's time we got to get these things taken care of because Jesus is coming. Is He coming today? How many says He could come today? How many knows, according to the Bible, He could come today? Will He come today? What about tomorrow? I have in my mind, in my imagination, a thought of when we hear the trumpet sound, it'll be both a glorious and fearful moment. Glorious in the fact that we know we're going to see Jesus, but fearful in the fact that we know we ought to be doing more. I don't know any Christian that's worth their salt that doesn't think they ought to be doing more. So Paul is writing to Titus, this young pastor, this pastor, and he's saying there's some things you ought to do and speak the things that become sound doctrine because people need to know how to be living. The aged men, the aged women, the young men need to know how to be living. And he goes through all this list of things, and then he comes down to verse 11. And he begins to exhort not specific groups, not just the aged men and the aged women and the young men and the servants. He exhorts all of us. Verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." When we look at this, there's three thoughts I want us to think about today. Number one, in view of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, do not stay lost. This is going to be so profound, it's going to boggle your mind. You've never heard anything like this before unless you've been in a fundamental Bible-believing church and then you hear it every week. Amen. Do not stay lost. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to most men, to some men, to a select few." The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God is all around us. When we begin to think about the grace of God, we realize that God's grace truly is greater than all of our sin. And today, if you die lost, it's your fault. You do not have to stay lost because the grace of God has appeared to you. You're not going to go to heaven because you're the member of a church. You're not going to go to heaven because you've been baptized. You're not going to go to heaven because you've been a good person. You're not going to go to heaven because you've took communion. You're not going to go to heaven because you're a good neighbor. You're not going to go to heaven because you've given a bunch of money to the church. You're not going to go to heaven because of good deeds. You are going to go to heaven if the grace of God has changed your life. what God's grace has done. Let's go through the Bible. We'll just think in the New Testament about just a handful of people. What about a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene? How many's heard of Mary Magdalene before? You remember what the Bible says about her? She had how many demons? Seven. She was completely filled up with the devil. Seven's the number of completeness of the Bible. She was full of the devil. She was the very essence of hell. You can imagine, she was a woman of ill repute. She was a woman that was ungodly. She is a woman that had absolutely all kinds of things wrong with her. But one day, the very essence of hell came in contact with the very essence of righteousness, and the grace of God reached down to where she was and took her as she was and changed her and made her a new creature in Christ. That's what God's grace can do. See, it's for all men. It's not just for those that are good. As a matter of fact, I contend with you, it's easier for somebody that's wicked to be saved than somebody that's good to be saved. I believe it was R.G. Lee, he said that it could be as many as 90% of church members are lost. Now, I don't know about that. If we're doing our job as churches, that shouldn't happen. But now it depends on what churches you're including. Some people says, you know, you can sign a banana and be one of the bunch, you know. Just come in and join up. Fill out a card. You're part of this church. The truth of the matter is, you cannot be a member of this church unless you give a testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not the judge of whether or not you've done that, but you must give a good testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, of the grace of God changing your life. And you do not have to stay lost. If you're here today, you do not have to stay lost. You may be sitting on your pew right now, worried about your eternity, thinking about, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? Well, here's the thing. Don't stay lost. What about that maniac of Gadara? What a story. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could get a hold of him. Nobody could do anything with him. He lived in the graveyard. Now, I don't care for graveyards too much. During the daytime, it's not too bad, but during the nighttime, I just really don't care for him, you know? It's just, you know, not a happy place to be. Some people says, well, people are dying to get there. But I'm thinking, I want to stay out. I just seen the rapture take place. And I don't want to go, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But here is this man, I mean, they have bound him with fetters. They've done everything to try to do to contain him. But you know what's changed his life? The grace of God. The grace of God. Think about the good man that came and said, Lord, What do I need to do to have eternal life? He says, well, you know, look at the commandments. You keep these commandments. You do this, you do that, you know. And he says, well, I've done all these things from just as a child. And you remember that he said, Lord, what must I do? And Jesus said, why call you me Lord? He's saying, are you recognizing me as God? If you are, if you're willing to recognize that I am the Lord, the Savior, then you're going to do what I say. And he said, I want you to sell all that you have and give it out. And he said, whoa, whoa. Here was God's grace being extended. But here was a young man that said, my riches are more important than your grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If you die without Jesus Christ, if you die without the grace of God, you're going to go to hell. But if you've never heard it before, you're hearing it now, and you will have no excuse. Jesus died for you, and he extended his grace to you, and he's offering salvation to you today. Do not stay lost. We could talk about so many others. We could go down and look at so many other people. I imagine the boy that the daddy brought to him and said, this boy is possessed. He's demon possessed. He throws himself into the fire. He cuts himself with the rocks. I can imagine the scars on that little boy's body. And I can imagine the scars on dad's body when he would chase him into the fire and pull him out, maybe with his flesh burning a little bit, and trying to stop him. And the boy that was filled with demons slashing not only his own body, but his daddy's body. And his daddy doing everything he could. And he said, I've tried to set him free. I've tried to get rid of this. I tried to take care of it. Jesus, will you do something about it? And Jesus set him free. That's the grace of God. You see what God's grace can do? It's there. You can either receive it or reject it. Today, if you're here without Christ, today, why don't you get it settled? Do not stay lost. Jesus is coming. Secondly, do not settle for less. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now he's encompassing everybody. He's encompassing the young, the old, the men, the women. And he says, once the grace of God has touched our lives, We do not need to settle for less. Christians are settling for less than what God has for us. All around us. We need to be standing on the promises. Old Vance Havner said, the problem is we've quit standing on the promises and now we're sitting on the premises. How true that is. We'll come to church. The Word of God will be preached. The songs will be sung that has so much truth in them. And we'll sit there and we'll go out the same as when we came in. I believe every service ought to change us somehow, some way. God does not have any service that He does not have something for you. It may not be something where you surrender to go to the mission field. It may not be somewhere you surrender to preach. It may not, but it ought to be something changing in your life. At least you're walking out closer to God. And the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then it says, here's what you have now. You have the grace of God that not only brings salvation, but the grace of God teaches you some things. It teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It teaches you to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When we talk about not settling for less, He gives us some things that we ought not settle for less on. Number one, we ought not settle for less in our deeds. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. In all things show on thyself a pattern of good works. As he's writing and exhorting Titus to speak to the men, the women, the old and the young, he says that there ought to be a pattern of good works in our life. The deeds we do ought to prove our faith. We had it in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? You know what we talked about? In the faith of Rahab, how her works proved her faith. We are not saved by works, but our works prove our faith. They prove our salvation. And there ought to be a pattern of good works in our lives. There ought to be a pattern of things and the deeds that we do that prove the grace of God has affected our life. If you don't have this pattern of good works, you're settling for less. There's a lot of Christians that are settling for less when God has greater things. There's a lot of Christians that just say, well, live and let live. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But that's liberal theology. The Bible says live for Christ and die to Christ. As we live for Christ, then we're going to have good works that will affect other people's lives. We can see all through the Bible this pattern of good works when they were true and when they were false. You remember when Christ gave the disciples, we talked about this Wednesday night, gave the disciples the certain power to do certain things. And when Christ came back from a certain place, these people said, you know, we brought our boy, and these men have no power to do anything. And he chastened them. He said, I gave you what you needed. but they settled for less. You see, what's happening in our lives is God has something for us to do. And when we're not doing what God wants us to do in our deeds, then we're settling for less. Do you understand that God has great things for us? And we need to see He's coming soon. How many says He could come today? What if He does? Do not settle for less in our deeds. Do not settle for less in our doctrines. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I am an independent Baptist by conviction. Baptist. That's what I am. The reason I'm a Baptist is not because my mom and dad are Baptists. Now, that probably affected my life earlier. But when I study the Word of God, I begin to understand the doctrines of the Word of God are very, very important. And I could not be anything other than a Baptist. But being a Baptist is not what's going to take me to heaven. Being a Christian, being saved is what's going to take me to heaven. But Baptist aligns me with certain doctrines. It used to be said by people that wasn't even in the Baptist church, in churches of other kinds, they would say, if it's Bible, it's Baptist. If it's Baptist, it's Bible. But we've kind of settled for less in a lot of our Baptist circles today. And I say, because of the grace of God, we do not need to settle for less. We need to hold true to the doctrine of the Word of God. Go read Paul's writing to Timothy and see how many times, maybe you'll circle it in your Bible or highlight it or whatever it is you do. See how many times he exhorts Timothy in the area of doctrine. As a matter of fact, see how many times he exhorts Titus in the area of doctrine. Doctrine is so very important. It speaks of what we believe. And we do not need to settle for less in our deeds, in our doctrine. And we do not need to settle for less in our duty. The Bible goes on and it says in verse number 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, this is where we as believers, as Christian families, need to be teaching our children these things. Our schools are destroying this principle. Because our schools are saying that you as children have rights to do everything, to disagree with those that are in authority over you. Look, I'm going to tell you something. My mom and dad taught me growing up, you always respect those in authority over you. And when I went to work in a secular job, when my boss told me to do something, I did not answer him again. I didn't fight with him. I didn't fuss with him. I said, okay, yes, sir. And then I had to say, yes, ma'am. You understand? We're settling for less and we're teaching our children to settle for less. In this entitlement society where everybody has a right to everything, which is not scriptural, the Bible says, by the sweat of thy face, that the Bible teaches us that if we don't work, we're worse than an infidel. The Bible says there are things that we have to work for. And we need to understand this. And we need to teach our children this, that we are servants to our masters. We're settling for less in these areas. And as Christians, we're settling for less. Now look, I believe in taking care of people, and I believe in doing right by people, and I believe in honest days pay for honest days labor. That's biblical principle. I believe all of these things. But I don't believe you ought to get something for doing nothing. I believe we have to work. There are things that ought to be a part of this. And Christians are settling for less in these areas. We have a duty as Christians to be able to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Showing all good fidelity. The best workers on a job ought to be Christians. The best workers ought to be Christians. The best. I worked at Eastman Chemical Company for 13 years. And I was so ashamed of some people that carried the Christian title, being the sorriest workers I've ever seen. And I remember there were several preachers that worked at Eastman. And I remember, there's so much room for improvement in me. I understand this. But I remember one person coming to me, well, more than one, several. There was 1,200 mechanics that worked there, and I was one of those. And there was a few preachers amongst those mechanics. And there was one preacher in particular that liked to flirt with women. And I remember somebody coming to me and saying, if that man was my preacher, you know, I wouldn't have anything to do with church. And they would come to him and they'd say, you know, how come he acts like that? Why does he do those things? And I was thinking, you know, here I am, trying to live right, trying to do right. It wasn't perfect. You know, I had my moments. You work in a job in a place like that, you have your moments. I'm telling you, you have them. But I tried to keep my Christian testimony and understand it was my duty to do right so that I could prove the doctrine of God. So that I could bring forth the doctrine of salvation. God blessed me and He allowed me to speak to people about their need for Christ. They saw my faults. But I promise you, God's grace was so sufficient for me. And I said, I don't want to settle for less than this. And there was a lot better Christians out there than I was. I'm so ashamed of some of the ways that I failed. I'm so ashamed. But the truth of the matter is God was with me, and I found as I lived for Him, and I did my best, and didn't settle for less, that He proved Himself. I don't want you to think I'm saying something good about me. I want you to see that if there were good things happening, it's because God's grace was at work in my life. And I want Him working in my life. It's my duty. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Do not stay lost. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not stay lost. God's grace can save you. Do not settle for less. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've been changed by the grace of God. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then why do we settle for less? And then, thirdly, do not stay lost. Do not settle for less. But do not stop looking. This will help you to not stay lost. And this will help you to not settle for less if you'll not stop looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I've asked it twice. I'm going to ask one more time. How many believe that Jesus could come today? But don't raise your hand on this. How many of us are looking for Him? We know that He could come, but if we believe that He would come, we wouldn't stay lost. And we would certainly not be settling for less. We would say, I'm going to do everything I can, the best of my ability. It's kind of like, you know, I've told you the story so many times about when your parents go away and they leave you something to do. And they say, when I get back, I want this done. And the one story that has stuck in my mind was when I was a kid, not just a young kid, old enough to know better than this. When my mom said, I've got to go to town. You go to the grocery store, it's town. You go to Walmart, that's town, you know. You go anywhere that's outside of that street, I'm going to town, you know. That's what she said, I've got to go to town. I'll be back in a couple of hours, and when I get back, I want this done. You get it done? Okay. She's gone, and I said, well, you know, I could do it now. I could just put it off. Being the good son that I was, I put it off. You know? And I got the plan, and it was a Saturday. Saturday was what? Cartoon Day. Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, Porky Pig. I mean, I liked all that stuff. Wasn't like the cartoons they have today. I mean, it's real cartoons. It's real good stuff. I mean, comedy. It's great. Wile E. Coyote going over a cliff. Wonderful, right? Roadrunner, meep, meep. You know, I mean, it's great. And I got to watching those cartoons, you know, and I was so excited because it's cartoon day. And I said, well, I'll get it done before she gets back. And you know what happens? You just kind of lose track of time and you're sitting there. And there was something about, Mom and Dad had this Pontiac. It's a brown Pontiac. And that thing made this sound when you push the brakes. It was recognizable. I mean, everybody on the street knew when our car pulled in. And I was in the house, you know, just playing, having a good time, watching the cartoons, and I heard, beep. It's like the trumpet blowing. She has returned, and I've not accomplished anything that she had for me to accomplish. Needless to say, it was Judgment Day. And the truth came out. I thought I had it all revealed. You know, you think you can get by with, well, you know, this happened, that. You can try to make all kinds of excuses. If we're looking for Him to come, we're looking for the fact that He could come today, what would it change in what we're doing with our lives? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And think about this. The Bible says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He gave Himself for us so that we would work for Him. Paul's writing to Titus. He says, Titus, instruct the men, the women, the boys, the girls, the servants. And Titus, I want you to explain to these groups of people that salvation is there because God's grace is sufficient. And I want you to teach them that once they've accepted the grace of God, that there's a way they ought to live. And I want you to teach them as they're living right, doing right, they can be looking for Christ. And when He comes and they're doing those works, it won't be a day of shame or sadness. It'll be a day of joy and rejoicing, shouting and singing His praises. Do not stay lost. Do not settle for less. Do not stop looking. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. I pray once again for those that may be here today that's never trusted Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day. Today would be the day of salvation. Today they would come and put their faith and trust in Thee. Your grace, Lord, would change their life. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that You'll help us to be right in our deeds and our doctrines and our duties. And help us to have our eyes, our hearts looking for Thee, realizing that as You come, that it's so important for us to be doing right and living right. Lord Jesus, we give this time of invitation to Thee. I pray that the will of God would be done in our lives today. I know it's Your will for the lost to be saved. And Lord, I know it's Your will for the saved to live right. And I also know it's Your will for the saved to be looking right, looking for that hope. Lord, may we draw closer to Thee today. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play softly.